This morning we're going to speak on seven remarkable confessions. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, the Bible says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Jesus said that, and he made a promise there, that whosoever confessed him before men, he would confess before his Father in heaven. In Luke chapter 12, verse 8, he made a similar statement where he said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." You know, when we think of confessing Christ before men, we think of a very important step that we take in becoming a child of God. As we know, in becoming a child of God, we must go through a process that we call the plan of salvation that begins with hearing the Word of God. Through hearing the Word of God preached, our faith grows into a strong belief in God and in His Son. We learn how Jesus shed His blood on the cross for us. And as a result, the faith we gain through that knowledge leads us into repentance. As the desire develops in our hearts to make a change in our lives, we also develop a strong want to express our gratitude and our strong belief in the Lord. It's at this point in the process that we find ourselves with an almost uncontrollable need to announce our faith in Christ. When we finally make that confession, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," a great feeling comes over us. Because to us, we've just announced to the world that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins. And after we've made that confession, we know that soon we will have our sins washed away in baptism. And God will translate us into His kingdom, thus making us a child of His, a child of God. The confession that we make before men and soon to be brothers and sisters in Christ is very important to Christ and to our future salvation. Christ said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." But he made another statement there in that chapter. In the following verse, in verse 33, Jesus said, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." You know, when we confess Christ, we're not accepting some particular creed, as some do in some of the denominations. We're making a public acknowledgement of the Lord and a confirmation that we're going to live our lives before men and before the world as Christ's servant. Our confession implies, number one, a confession of faith in Him with the lips, such as Paul describes over in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, back in the time that Christ walked on this earth, to openly confess Him in those days of persecution was a trial of faith of the severest kind. It meant more to Christ than we'll probably ever understand, because we aren't under the same fear of persecution or death that those people were. Truly, those people loved Christ more than their own lives. And that's not to say that we don't today. But we just don't have that fear of being persecuted like they were. Now, we may be moving more toward that in the future, the way things are going. But right now, we don't have that fear. As we'll see later, we are blessed for our public confession. Because even though we've never seen Christ, we believe on Him and we confess Him to be the Son of God. Number two, our confession implies an acknowledgement of Christ by obedience and by giving our life to His service. Our confession that Jesus is the Son of God is a demonstration of faith. Number one, by public acknowledgement. And number two, by an obedient life. Now, here's the catch. A verbal confession of Christ is not enough if the life we live is a denial of Christ. For it then shows that our confession was a lie. The verbal confession and the life we live must correspond with each other. When they do, Christ will confess each one of us that confess Him before men. I want to look at some examples of people and their confessions of Christ that we find in the Scriptures, most of which were made in the presence of the Lord and were made to the Lord. Now, as we briefly look at these examples, let's all think about our own personal confession that we made for anything that we might feel that we may have in common with each of these people. The first one we want to look at is the confession of Nathanael. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 43, the Bible says, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You know, Philip had been talking to Nathanael about Christ. He'd been telling him that this is the man that I was telling you about, that Moses and the prophets had prophesied about. And he was astonished. You know, especially when Jesus said, "I saw thee under the fig tree and I knew thee," even before they were introduced, Christ knew him. And when Christ told him that, Nathanael knew that he had to be the Son of God. He had to be that man. And Nathanael said, "Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." You know, Nathanael was a faithful follower of Christ from that time on. And he was with the disciples there at the Sea of Tiberias when Jesus showed himself to them right before he ascended into heaven to the Father. Now let's look at another example, the first confession of Peter. Beginning in verse 13 of chapter 16 of Matthew, the Bible says when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, Peter's confession here was remarkable because Peter seemed to be the only one of the disciples that God had revealed that Christ was his son to. If he had revealed it to the other disciples there, they weren't letting the cat out of the bag, so to speak. They were reluctant to say anything if he told them who he was. Let's look at another confession that Peter made. Let's see, I didn't finish reading that scripture. I'll go ahead and finish reading that so y'all can get the whole gist of it. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee, thou art the Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now the second confession of Peter. From John chapter 6, verse 66. "From that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, Jesus have been teaching here in John chapter 6 to his disciples about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And many of the disciples didn't understand that. They didn't realize what he was talking about. They said it was too hard of a saying that they would have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. But when Jesus asked the 12 if they would go away also, it was Peter that once again spoke up and made a confession for all of them. He seemed to be their spokesperson in spite of his shortcomings. You know, and even though he would later deny Christ, he was still chosen to deliver the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. And later on, he was also chosen by God to be the one to offer remission of sins first to the Gentiles when he was sent to the house of Cornelius. Another confession we want to look at is the confession of Martha. John chapter 11. Verse 20 to 23. "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Martha was a sister of Lazarus, and Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus. Well, Lazarus was sick unto death. And even though Jesus could have just healed him from where he was, or from anywhere in the country, he allowed Lazarus to die so that he could come and resurrect him from the dead. Martha's confession was remarkable, because even though she knew that if the Lord would have been there, he could have saved her brother from dying. And Lazarus had been dead for 4 days already. But she didn't realize, what she didn't realize that was that Jesus was going to raise him from the dead. And that in itself is remarkable, because she knew that he could have saved him, and yet he didn't come. And she still confessed that he was the Son of God. Another confession I want to look at is that of Thomas. And I appreciate Brett leading that song this morning. I didn't ask him to, but he picked it out and led it. It came, just fits right into the sermon. John chapter 20, verse 19 through 29. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We all know that this is where that expression, doubting Thomas, comes from. Because Thomas just would not believe that the Lord had appeared to the other disciples unless he could see him himself. You know, when the Lord appeared unto Thomas and said, Thomas, believe. Put your hand and feel of my finger, feel of my hands, feel of the nail prints in my hands. Take your hand and thrust it in my side and be believing and not faithless. Thomas must have felt about 6 inches tall about then. He probably was looking for some place to hide. I know I would have been. But he also must have been humbled beyond humble. He must have been completely overwhelmed. And his response seemed to testify to that. I can just see the look on his face. My Lord and my God. And he could just, you can almost see that he maybe kneeled on his knees at that time. Jesus' answer in verse 29 that I was referring to earlier is how blessed we are today when we confess Christ to men. Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. You know, all these men, these examples that we've talked about before, they all saw Christ. They were all around him. They knew him. Now we're going to talk about one that did not see Christ. One that believed and confessed him without ever seeing him. The confession of the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8. Verse 35 to 37. The eunuch had been riding on his chariot, coming back from worshiping in Jerusalem. And he was reading from Esaias the prophet, reading about this man Jesus, but he didn't know who he was reading about. And the Spirit sent Philip to talk to him and tell him about Jesus. In verse 35, he opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came under a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. It's pretty obvious that we have more in common with the Ethiopian eunuch than any of the other examples that we looked at. If we look in the other examples, we notice something different there than we noticed here in this example. Although all those examples, all those men and women confessed that Jesus was the Son of God, we don't see where they were baptized. Where in this example, we see that the eunuch was baptized. And the reason for that is because it was before the death of Christ. It was before the law of Christ became in effect. After the law of Christ came into effect, then we are required to go through the plan of salvation to be saved. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch did. Now we never find in the scriptures where these people were baptized for the remission of their sins. But we know that they must have been, because it is a requirement after the death of Christ. You know, the eunuch was most notable to us, wasn't he? Because he went through the same steps of salvation that we do to be saved. And even though all these others had seen Jesus in person, they knew him and confessed him face to face. The eunuch, by hearing about Jesus from Philip, he just automatically believed on him. And he made that confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the Bible says that Philip and the eunuch both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him for the remission of his sins. The exact same process that any sinner today must go through to be saved. You know, we look at the first of these examples and we think how easy it was for them to believe on Jesus and to confess him. They were around him daily. They talked with him. They saw the miracles he performed. They felt his love and they felt his compassion. It seems that it would have been a given that they would confess him before men. And they did. Almost every day. They went out and they preached Christ to the world. In doing so, they were confessing Christ. They went out and lived their lives as an example for Christ. They emulated Christ in their lives. But if you remember, Christ told Peter that flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And yet at times Peter had problems when it came to confessing Christ before certain men. You know, when Christ was taken and was going to be crucified, Peter feared for his life and he denied him three times. It was a tough time for nearly all of these people to be confessing Christ. They were under a lot of pressure in those times. Their lives were always in jeopardy. Some had to be hiding at times simply because they were followers of Christ. You know, we recall the scriptures even talk about some among the chief rulers that believed on him. And yet they would not confess him because they feared being put out of the synagogue. And the reason? They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. People were afraid for various reasons in those times. What is our biggest fear today? Why are we afraid to go before an assembly and confess Christ and be baptized? Is it the baptism part that we're afraid of? Why won't we go out into the world and confess him to the world? I'm sure all of us try to live our lives every day in a Christian manner. We try to emulate Christ in our lives. But do we go out and talk to strangers and tell them about Christ? Do we tell them about the gospel plan of salvation? Do we have a fear of being rejected? or maybe laughed at. Are we afraid we're going to lose our friends? Do we fear for our lives? Are we afraid that we might be killed? You know, for the most part, I don't think that's a problem, but there may be some parts of the country that we'd go through that we wouldn't want to go in and just start trying to preach Jesus to them. The most fear we should have is for our souls. Because if we fail to confess Christ while we have life in us, just as Jesus said, He will deny us before His Father. But one thing is for sure, if we fail to confess Him in this life, we will all confess Him on the judgment day, whether we confess Him now or not. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Again in Philippians 2, verse 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. It is a surety that each and every one of us will confess Christ sooner or later. Sooner would be better. To confess Him in this life would be better, because then we have a hope of eternal life. If we wait till the day of judgment and when we stand before Him on the judgment day to confess Him then, it'll be too late. There'll be no hope for salvation. If you're here today and you've never confessed the name of Christ before, today is your guaranteed opportunity for salvation. If you walk out the door this morning having never confessed Christ, the next time that you may have that opportunity might be on Judgment Day, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you confess Him today and live your life confessing Him every day, before the world, you have His promise. He will confess you before His Father in heaven. In Revelation 3 and verse 5, Jesus said, He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before His angels. That's exactly what Jesus said He would do in Matthew 10, verse 32, and Luke chapter 12 and verse 8.